And we're going to start reading in verse number 13. And we're going to read a little bit here, but I think it's needed for context. And I've never preached this before in English. So this is what the Lord laid on my heart to preach to you all. I have my notes here that, but I originally preached this in Spanish, so we'll see how it goes. And we'll just go ahead. Do you want to hear it in Spanish or you want to hear it in English? Or so Mateo, capítulo 19, no, it's okay. If you'll stand with me, we'll read a few verses here. In Matthew chapter number 19, verse number 13, the Bible says this, and then they were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for as much as of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. The Lord always has time. The Lord always has time to help us, no matter who we are. I love that part of the scripture here. And behold, one came and said unto him, God, good master. What good thing said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which? And Jesus saith, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then said Jesus unto the disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Then his disciples heard it. They were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and they shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. For the kingdom of heaven, this is important to keep this together for context. For the kingdom of heaven, this is just what he said in verse 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. When he went out early in the morning, he hired laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out about the third hour and said unto them, others standing idle in the marketplace, he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? And they said unto him, because go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they that were hired in the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. Thou hast made them equal unto us, which has borne the burden and heat of the day. And he answered one of them, said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Let's pray. Kind of most gracious Heavenly Father, just want to thank you so much, Father, for this morning. I thank you, Father, for this church. Father, I ask that you please just be with our service here now. Please be with the preaching of your word, Father. I pray that only the things that you want to be said will be said, Father. And I pray that you'd use your word this morning, Father. Please use your servant. We love you, Father. We ask all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know, for many years, this is probably my least favorite parable. It's the least one, the least favorite one, because I didn't like it. Why? Because, you know, just because if you read it and you don't keep it in context, you don't look for what the Lord's trying to teach his disciples, then it's like, well, that's not fair. But life isn't fair. It's not. You know, if things were fair, where would we all be right now? We'd be in hell. That's correct. So what I want to see and what I want to show you guys here, what I want to show you something here is that in verse 30, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And we see this in the previous verses. You know, the little children come unto him. His disciples say, no, you know, get them away. He doesn't have time for this. And what happens? He says, no, don't forbid the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And so the last in the disciples' minds and eyes became first. Hey, if the Lord calls you forward, says, no, let him come to me. Then if you were last, then you've just amazing thing that these disciples, they were like, no. You know, we don't have time for this. And so the last became first. Here again, with the rich young man. If we look here at the rich young man here, we see that he was counting on his righteousness. He was first in his own mind. Hey, it's true. I didn't make this up. I'm just reading context. I mean, we believe our King James Bible, right? This is the context. It's important to keep context in our preaching. And if you look here, you know, in his own mind, he was righteous. But isn't it funny how the Lord has a way of working through our righteousness, which the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, which is as filthy rags. And he has a way of showing us that, hey, no, you're not righteous. And so this rich young man, he left away sorrowful because he had many things. And so we see there the first was made last, you know, and so he saw that. And so the disciples seeing this, and Christ taught, he said, it's pretty hard for a rich man to get saved. I'm paraphrasing all this, you know, because I want to get to the meat of the text here. But he says, and the disciples like, well, who can be saved? He said, what's he say here? And he says, when the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld of God, all things are possible. And we praise the Lord for that, because he is omnipotent. He has all power, does he not? He has all power. He can do anything. And so we see this here. And then Peter brings something up here. He says, Then Peter said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Can you imagine this? I mean, can you imagine Peter? He sees this. You know, hey, they were wrong with the children. And so the last became first. And then they looked at this rich young man who was apparently had his righteousness and looked very good and everything. And then he was made last. He says here, Lord, they were amazed, and the Lord said, with men it's impossible, with God all things are possible. And Peter said unto them, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? You know, this isn't a sin for Peter to ask this. There's nothing wrong with that. Lord, we're giving so much up. We got so many things going on. Lord, we've forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have? This tells in verse 28, He says, and Jesus said, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on his throne of glory, ye shall sit and sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In verse number 29, and every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You know, we see here, how's the Lord going to work all that out? All I know is what he says. It's going to be 100-fold. And we need to count on what he says and what his promises. In verse 30, again, I'll repeat it. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. Now, I want to just pause here and qualify something. You know, understand here that he says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man. A man. He doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is like unto a government. The kingdom of heaven is like unto some king's reign or anything like that. He says like unto a man. The things that he says here, in context here, in his parable here, we can't apply to government. Government could never do this. Government could never say, hey, everybody's going to get the same. That's not government's place. Who government's going to give away whose money? Government doesn't make money. They take money. You know, last time I checked, they get taxes. You know, in Chile, we pay 19.5% sales tax. They get all that money and they redistribute it. They give it to folks. You know, here, I think in Johnson County where we live, the sales tax is like 8.5%, 8.25% or something like that. They take that money. They don't make it. The people that make it are the people that work for it. You understand? So we can't, you know, I pause here to say this, that we cannot replace the word man here with government. So when people try to say this, they try to take this parable out of context. They try to take, well, hey, government should be able to do this. No, this is not what this parable is saying. Understand what I'm saying here? It's important. So, okay, unpause. We can get back to it. Because I just don't want you all to leave and say, oh, Brother Pittman, you know, he thinks that we all be socialists. Or no, I'm not saying anything like that. Please, no. Here's the thing. What's it say? This is so interesting. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And verse 2 is very important here for the first laborers. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. You know, we see here he agreed with them. He came under contract with them. He came into an agreement with them. He may have negotiated. Do you understand that you know, if we were all standing around, you know, Central Wildwood or something, and we were waiting for people to come by and trucks to come take us to work, if we were the first ones there, we'd probably negotiate. Well, hey, how much you pay me for today? What kind of work you got to do? I want you to come work in my vineyard. Hey, I want you to do drywall. Hey, I want you to come work in my orchard. Well, how much is that going to pay? Well, it's going to pay this. Okay, well, how much are you going to pay? It's going to pay this. How much are you going to pay? It's going to pay this. Oh, I think I want to do this one. He came into an agreement with them. They had a contract. It was set. They had come into agreement, you know, in their agreement, it was set. And so then there could be afterwards, they could reasonably expect to receive what they had agreed upon, correct? That's what a contract is. You know, it's not really, I have to watch myself because many times, you know, when we do things, I was really worried about that. You know, hey, we ought not worry so much. If we have a contract, you know, and here it's plain here, you do this, you're going to receive this. We should do our part and have faith in the contract. You know, it's not, we can see it. It's not really faith. You understand, but we should do it and then we'll receive it and not be so worried about, well, you know, and that's just when we're worried about, well, I don't know really if I'm going to receive this. I don't know if this is going to work out correctly or anything like that. We're calling into question the person that we're in the contract with. we're kind of impugning upon their goodness and their righteousness. Well, I don't know. I signed this contract with his brother. I just don't know. Why are you worried about it? It's written. It's a contract. You know, these folks really didn't, these men negotiated. They didn't really have to have faith. You know, they picked out the one that they wanted and they went and did it. And so they're working now. You know, when they came to an agreement, he sent them into his vineyard. Hey, we're in agreement. Go work. Okay, it's a good thing. Then it goes on here. So these folks are working. They're happy. I got a contract. I'm going to go receive my daily wages today for this amount of work. And so, okay, so here we go. And he said, and he went out the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. Whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. So they didn't, you know, he just said, what's written here. Whatsoever's right, I'll give you. So what were they thinking? Well, I'm going to get 3/4 of a day's wages. Right? Probably. I don't know. That would be right. That would be what I would consider right. I'm going to work 3/4 of a day. I'm going to get 3/4 wages. And so they went, but they didn't come into an agreement on with numbers. He, the master, the good man, the man that's the householder, he said unto them, go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And then these folks had faith and they went their way. That's what's written. They went their way. And so they had faith in the man that, well, hey, what are you working for today? Well, he just told me whatever's right. Hey, we're getting a penny. We're going to get a full day's wages. What are you going to get? I don't know. Whatever's right. And they had faith in that. They had faith in that. And then he went out, the good man, the master, the man that was a householder. Again, he went out about the 6th and 9th hour and did likewise. So the exact same scenario happened with these other folks at the 6th hour, half a day, and at the 9th hour when 3/4 of the day was gone. He went out, he said, what are you standing here idle? Go into my vineyard and work, and I'll give you whatever's right. And he did the same thing and did likewise, and they went. An amazing thing. Then here in the number six, and about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? You know, he asked them, why stand ye here all day idle? And they answer. We see a little dialect here between the good man and the folks that were standing there. And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he said unto them, go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. They tell him, why? He asks him, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Why you stand here all day idle? Nobody's hired us. Nobody. You know, they were in the same. I don't think they were in a different location. They were in the exact same location. You know, maybe they didn't hear the call for this man earlier in the day. Maybe, you know, they were focusing on trying to get something from somebody else. But he comes back again and there's still people waiting. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why stand here all day idle? And they said, because no man hath hired us. And he said unto them, go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And they went. They had faith. They probably figured, well, I'm going to get 1/12 of a day's wages. I'm going to go work an hour. It'll be enough that I can buy some food for my family. And so we see this all happens here. We see, you know, these different groups of folks. And the only people that had a contract, that had an agreement, were the very first ones when they had agreed upon. In verse number eight, and when even was come, when the day work day was over, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, go or call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And he says that Christ, you have to realize Christ is trying to teach his disciples, correct? This is written, he's telling them this parable, he's doing this so that he can teach them. And they had two instances where they saw this played out, you know, with the children, the last of them being made first, and with the rich young man that looked so righteous, with the first, the person we could hold up, this is righteousness right here, him being made last. They saw it played out twice. Now he's trying to teach them because Peter's like, we've given up everything. We've forsaken all. And so we see here, at the end of the day, at even, this was a good man. He was going to pay his laborers. He wasn't going to say, y'all come back tomorrow and I'll pay you. No, he was going to do it that day. And he tells his steward, what's he say here? And when even come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. They got a full day's wages. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. So the people that worked 1 hour got a penny, and the people that worked all day got a penny. The people that worked 1 hour had the promise that whatsoever's right, that ye shall receive. And the people that had the contract, had the agreement, they got what was right also. Is that not right? It's correct. Am I correct? It's correct. But in our human nature, we don't like it. This is, like I said before, this is one of my least favorite parables. We don't like that. Well, I did more than them. Isn't that the way our kids are? I did more. Where do they get that from, Mom and Dad? Our kids don't, you know, I hate to tell you this, young folks, but you normally don't come up with anything original. You're normally just repeating what Mom and Dad said, what Mom and Dad does. And so when Mom and Dad have something, normally have something bad, you're going to repeat it. When Mom and Dad have something good, sometimes you'll catch on to it and you'll repeat it. But many times, you know, we see this played out not only in the young folks, but in our lives also. In the workplace. I do so much more work than them, and they make more money than me. Well, first of all, why do you know how much money they make? That should be kept secret, in my feelings. But then again, why are you comparing yourselves? Are you not working for what you agreed upon? If you'd agreed upon $20 an hour and you're receiving $20 an hour, probably be best to zip this thing up and not say nothing, because you're getting what you receive. Now, if you agreed upon 20 and they're paying you 10, then you have a legitimate case. You can go say something. But if you're working for what you agreed upon and you're receiving what you agreed upon, then there's nothing really. It's right. Well, it should be more. We'll go negotiate something more, or we'll find a different job. But be content where you're at and be happy with what you got. And so here we see so much happens when this one thing happens, when we do this one thing. In verse number 10, and when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more. And can I tell you something? That's when we get disappointed. When we have all these imaginary things in our head, we suppose, hey, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way we're going to work it out. This is what I'm going to get. When I suppose it, that's when I get my feelings hurt. We're supposed to deal with facts. We're supposed to deal with, you know, hey, if I want to know what somebody, if I want to know what something is, I need to find out. I need to ask questions. The Bible says good understanding giveth favor. I need to go ask some questions, get some good understanding, and then I can know. I don't have to suppose. I can know, hey, this is what I'm going to get. But when we suppose, especially when we have an agreement, when we suppose, that's kind of like presuming upon the Lord. Well, I just figured, you know, since you gave brother so-and-so so much that I was going to get, I did more work, you know, I was going to get more. And that's how my feelings get hurt. That's how I get bent out of whack and get, many times that can lead me to being wrong with the Lord, get bitter. But I need to go upon facts. And if they had not supposed that, you know, this parable would be so much different, wouldn't it? That they would have been like, hey, praise the Lord, we got our wages, let's go. Well, that's not the way our nature, our old man works, our human nature works. Christ here, and here's, they even do more. They supposed to begin with, they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. You know, the guy that they had come upon an agreement, they had come into agreement with at the beginning of the day. They were happy to go do the work for what they were going to receive. And so something changed in their attitude in between the beginning of the day and the end of the day when they received their wages. And it all happened when they supposed they should receive more. Or that the others should, you know, it just says that they, it doesn't say that they suppose the others should receive less. They suppose that they should have received more. And they murmured, which anytime in the Bible, you read that word, is never good. So anytime we do it, guess what? It's never good. We don't need to murmur. If we have a legitimate problem with someone, we need to take them off in private, like the Bible says. Take them and go talk to them. Hey, I've had this problem with you, brother. And figure out what the problem is. And so we see here that they supposed, then they murmured, and then when they murmured, saying, these at last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered. We'll get to that here in a minute. So they're like, hey, we did all this hard work. We bore the heat of the day. Hey, I don't know what the temperature is right now outside, but I guarantee you it feels better in here than it does out there. And if you were working in a vineyard in that heat, then you'd be like, hey, it's pretty hot. We've been doing some work on our house that we have there in Knobnoster. And here a couple weeks ago, me and Seth were up in the attic. It was pretty hot. I mean, July in Missouri is pretty hot. So we're up in the attic. We're trying to fix a couple things and everything. We're trying to just fix some things and make it right. And we were only able to work up there maybe a half hour. And we just completely drenched. And then we got in there another day when it was actually cooler and it was still hot. But can you imagine these men that, you know, they worked all day long. And so, you know, they're ready to receive their wages. And then they have a problem with the way that they're receiving it. They're having a problem with how much these other people got. And they're using this excuse that, hey, we've borne the burden and heat of the day. If you work outside as part of your living, do you not know that there's going to be heat in the middle of the day? Is that a surprise? Do you think that, you know, I mean, just think along with me here just a little bit. When these men signed the contract, when they came upon the agreement to work a whole day, 12 hours, they were going to work this whole day. Do you think that they didn't know that midday was going to come and the burden and heat of the day was going to be there when they agreed upon how much they were going to receive? They knew it. It happens every day. It's not like, oh, it's a big surprise. It's going to get hot, you know, in between 11 and 3 or 4 in the afternoon. It's not a surprise. They knew that when they got their agreement, but now they're bent out of whack, they supposed. And they're just wanting to say stuff. And they murmured. They murmured. You know, the Bible here is showing us something, that how quickly can our attitudes change? Can I ask you a question? Why weren't these folks just praising the Lord, being like, man, praise the Lord that these guys that couldn't get hired by anybody else, they got to receive a day's wages just like us. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord that they're able to go and they're able to buy enough pan can eat tonight. They're able to pay the rent. They're able to take their money and go do whatever they need to do with it for their families. That's a kind of a different attitude, isn't it? You know, I think the Bible talks about, is it in John 10, about hirelings? Yeah. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not hirelings. Christ didn't hire me, and he didn't hire you if you're saved. And anything my brother or sister in Christ, you know, the Lord blesses them with, I should probably have a good attitude about that. I praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, brother. Sister, praise the Lord. And not be bent out of whack, supposing that, well, how come I didn't get that? Apparently, God didn't want me to have it. We got to change our attitudes and not act like just people that have a contract with God. I have an agreement with the Lord. No, I have promises from the Lord. And here's what I want us to see here this morning. Everything that we've said boils down to just this little bit here. In verse 13, after these folks murmured and everything, and he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny?" So he reminded them, we had an agreement. He said, "Take that as thine and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee." And in verse 15, he says this, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own?" They had no rights to dictate to the good man of the house, to the householder, what he should pay others. We could apply that to our lives. We have no right in our lives to assume or suppose that God should give something to us that he's given to someone else. We have the free gift of salvation. I'm talking about material things now. We all know the free gift of salvation, it's equal for everyone. But here's the thing here is, you know, even with our own stuff, this is where you get into the socialistic things and the capitalistic things. Hey, as capitalists, we believe what the Bible says. Is it not right for me to do what I want to with my own? Hey, if I want to go give this person right here, you know, $1,000 to help them out, is it not right for me to do that? You get what I'm saying? If I want to be a blessing to this person here, do others have a right to dictate to me or to command me or to obligate me to give them the same? It doesn't work like that. Well, it's not fair, Brother Pittman. Well, what's not fair is anybody getting anything. I have, you know, what I have in my power, what I have that is my own, I have the right to do whatever I want to with it. We're Christians with the Lord's permission. You understand? And I shouldn't get bent out of whack. I shouldn't get testy. I shouldn't get hurt feelings because I suppose that I should get the same thing. You understand? Because in all reality, you know, of the material things, the physical things that we have, it's all going to burn up one of these days. And the only thing we can do is use it for what the Lord wants us to use it for. And then it's going to be fruit into our account, you know, in heaven. And that can't go away. But here's the thing, you know, he says here in the last part, he says, is thine eye evil because I do good? How many times do we see that happen? That, you know, somebody tries to do something good and then everybody else is like, well, how come you didn't do this or this or this? Well, because I wanted to do this. This is what I had the power to do. And this is what I wanted to do. Why is that a problem? Why is it a big problem that, well, I couldn't do it for everybody? I didn't want to. Just being honest here. The good man of the house here, he says, is it not for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Why can't we praise the Lord when somebody gets something good or the Lord blesses them? Instead of being hurt or being or supposing that we should receive the same or get something that's similar. We should change our attitude. Why? Because there's something good here. You know, these folks that went there, that came in, at the, you know, just look at the 11th hour. He says in verse 7, he said to them, because no man hath hired us. And he said to them, go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever's right, ye shall receive. Ye shall receive. What did he tell those other groups of folks too? Whatsoever's right. Do you understand that, you know, I might not be able to exactly describe and show you on paper verse 28 and 29, the full understanding of all that when we give all to the Lord. We've forsaken all to follow thee. You know, I understand it, but how's that going to work for me personally? The Lord's going to work it out. Why? Because I'm going to receive what's right. That's the truth. We can have faith in his promises. We're going to get what's right. And he is, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man. It says later on that he's the good man. The good man. God is good. And we're going to get what is right. And he's going to work out, you know, we have to realize here that, you know, he's trying to work different things out in my life. He may be trying to show me some things that, hey, brother, you're a little bit covetous here. Why you been out of whack that this person has this or makes more or this person does more or whatever it is. You get what I'm saying? He's constantly trying to work on me. And so the disciples here, they saw two instances where the children, the last were made first. And then in the rich man's case, the first was made last. And he tries to teach them this parable after Peter says, he says, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? What's right? You get it? We're going to get what's right because the Lord is good. And there's nothing, you know, in verse 29, I can personally testify, you know, everyone that has forsaken house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. How's he going to work all that out? Am I going to have 100 dads or 100 moms? I have. Do you understand? It's I'm going to get what's right. And that's the promise that we have. We're going to receive what's right because he is the good man of the house. He's going to do what's right. And you understand also, it's not about what we bring to the table. Because he's got it all there. That, if we use the word again, that we use in Sunday school, that is awesome. God is going to give us what is right. When we have faith in him, we do what he wants. We answer his call. We do whatever he wants us. We do his will in our life. We're going to receive what is right. I just wanted to encourage you in that this morning. The Lord really, really, yesterday and a few days has been really working in this and in my life that we have so many promises from him. And we're going to get every one of them. Why? Because it's right. It's right. And so we see here, even in this parable that nobody likes, because, those people that work so hard. No, listen, the whole thing is, we're going to get what's right. And we need to have faith in Him and not suppose that it's going to be something different. So let me just ask you this morning, how's your attitude? It's either good or bad. Young folks, how's your attitude between your brothers and sisters? Christians, how's your attitude between your brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, you may be here this morning and you're not saved. You may need to come to know my Father as your Savior. Jesus Christ as your Savior. God as your Savior. You can. And you'll get His righteousness. You understand? You can do that today if you're not saved. And if you have some area in your life that you're not right with the Lord, you can get that right today also. And you get back into His righteousness. This parable here is so wonderful when we understand it, and we understand that we should have faith in the good man of the house that we live in. Let's pray. Kind of most gracious Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much, Father, for this day. I thank you, Father, for just your goodness and your mercy. I ask that you please just be with the rest of our time here today. We love you, Father. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Pastor McDowell.